Well, would you please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at some verses there this day, this morning, and also this evening. Two-part message. Let's pray first, and then we'll see what God has for us. Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks for the day. We praise your name and give thanks for your goodness toward us. And Lord, as we start this new year, we do pray that you will prepare us and, Lord, make us ready to face whatever you deem we need and what's best. And Lord, I pray that your word will be our comfort and guide. And I pray that you will teach us something this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think I need to tell you that it's the start of a new year. It really is the start of a new year, the very first day. And the reality is none of us know what lies ahead, do we? We don't know what blessings we're going to enjoy. I trust we will enjoy some blessings. We don't know what sorrows we're going to have to endure. We don't know that in regards to our church, our families, and even as individuals as well. But regardless of what lies ahead for each one of us, the thing is, as a local church, as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should love each other enough to pray for each other. That should be a given. It should be something that I don't even have to talk about, but the reality is so often we don't. But I do believe it's a sign of how much we love each other is by how much we pray for one another. You know, we do pray for those we love. Do you pray for yourself? I guarantee you do pray for yourself. Why? Well, we have that inbuilt desire to love ourselves. Not in a bad way, but we want the best for ourselves. I guarantee you pray for yourself. I'm sure you pray for your spouse, and that's because you love them. I'm sure you pray for your children if you have children, and that's because you love them as well. We pray for those who we love. Question is, apart from yourself, your spouse, and your children, who else in this building do you pray for? Regularly, not just once a year, but regularly, maybe daily or weekly. How many others in this building do you actually pray for? We can say that we love each other, but our prayer life often would prove otherwise. Because as I said, we will be motivated, we will be constrained to pray for those we love. So my challenge to you today is, how about we pray for each other more and more regularly and more specifically this year? That's make it a point that we do uphold each other in prayer on a regular basis. You know, I have just a little practical thing that I have shared with the teenagers. They will know all about this. I have a diary that I go through, and I write when I have my quiet time and what I'm reading that day. Now, this is this year's, and so I've only got one. All right, I did actually have a quiet time this morning. So I'm very impressed with myself that I did that after New Year's Eve. But what I also do in the back is I have also the different books of the Bible that I read through, and then I have a list of who I'm going to pray for. Now, apart from if you're a visitor, each one of you is on that prayer list. I pray for my church family as well as other things as well. And so you are there somewhere on this list. And I try to pray for at least a couple of, at least one list per day or a few on per day as well. And so that's my method of making sure that I pray regularly and consistently for each one of you. I think also most of the teenagers have been doing that as well. And so, So that's a blessing. But that's what we need to be doing, praying for one another. And if we turn to Colossians chapter 1, we see that this was Paul's motivation as well, or desire. When he heard about the faith of the Colossians and how they were growing in the Lord, he felt motivated to pray for them. Have a look in chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now that's the start of it. He says, once we've heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. And as you read on in the next few verses, we see some of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for. There were specific things he went to the throne of grace on their behalf for. And I thought this would be worth taking note of today at the beginning of our year. Because you can have a list like I do, so that you do pray regularly. But what I found for quite a while is when I got to someone on my prayer list, I didn't know actually what to pray for. Now, if there was something obvious, well, then it's easiest in your life. But sometimes there's nothing obvious to pray for. And so you generally just say, oh God, bless them, help them, keep them safe, some of the generic things. But there wasn't anything specific to pray for that you need. And so I found that what Paul prayed for, these five things that he mentions on their behalf, is a very good starting point. And so what I did this year, which I haven't shared with the teenagers yet, so I'll save it for Sunday school, is I not only have a list, but I at least have these five things that Paul prayed for. So when I look at your name and I can't think of anything specific you need, I can at least pray for these things for you. And that's what I want to look at this morning and this evening, these five things that Paul prayed for. And so as we look here, the first thing we see is that Paul prayed that they will be filled. And it might be worth noting these things. He prayed that they would be filled. And that's probably a very good topic for us this time of the year. I suspect we all feel very filled with food. And it doesn't end there when it comes to being filled with various things. We can be filled with thoughts of love and joy and happiness. They're the good things to be filled with. But we can be filled with thoughts of bitterness and anger and wrath as well. We can fill ourselves with gossip of others. We can fill ourselves of TV and internet and various things want to fill our minds. But Paul desired that those at Colossae were to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now that's something. Have a look there in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so the Apostle Paul first prayed that those believers at Colossae would be filled with the knowledge of God's will unto all spiritual understanding, where they're not leaning to their own understanding or their own fleshly desires, but they would have a sure understanding of what God's will was and is for their life. You see, he wanted them to always be in God's will and doing God's will. And so he prayed that they would know what God's will is. That way, when they had a decision to make, or they tried to work something out, be it a spiritual matter, or maybe just an everyday decision in life, they would know what God wanted them to be doing. Because we can be so convinced that we are doing what God wants when really we're just being deceived by our own heart. And so there is a real understanding and need to know what God wants us to be doing. We all need it, no matter who you are, no matter what stage in life you are in, you need to know what God's will is for you. Problem is, sometimes we don't know what God's will is. There are times when people know what God's will is, they just don't want to do it. But there are often times when we do want to do what God wants, we're just not exactly sure. I'm not talking about the black and white things in God's word that says, do not do this or do this. But I'm talking about those more greyer areas that you're not so sure about. You know, when you're young, you're growing up, what occupation does God want me to pursue? If it is, what sort of education do I need to pursue? Where do I take that education? Where do I move? Where do I live? What church do I attend? All various things. For young people, it can be very hard. And there are many things that God hasn't told us specifically about. And so we need to know what God's will is. And this is one way we can help each other, by praying that each one of us will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in every area of our life. I can pray that for you, and I know that you have a need in that area. That's not meaning I'm giving you the answers to your questions, but I'm asking that God will fill you with the knowledge of His will, so you will know. I know I need help to know what God's will is plenty of times. If you want to pray something for me, pray that Alan Mitchell will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so I'll know what God wants me to be doing. You know, for the young people, I don't know the paths that God has for you, the occupations, the desires that God has for you, where He wants you to serve in the church, but I can pray that God will fill you with the knowledge of His will in that regard. You know, for a lot of you adults, I don't even know the circumstances you're facing, but I can pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will. When you pray for the diaconate, you may not know a lot of the things that we discuss and have to decide, but pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in so doing that. And so if you do commit to be praying regularly for those here, that's one thing you can be praying for and be sure that it's a need. And that's what Paul prayed for, that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now that's the first thing. The second thing he prayed for, it had to do with their walk, and that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We see that in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now this has nothing to do with our physical walk. It has everything to do with our spiritual walk. And Paul prayed that they at Colossae would walk in a manner that Christ was pleased with, so that it was worthy of Him and His name. As though God or Christ could say, see that person there? They are my servant. If you want to know what I'm like, look at them. They walk worthy of me. It's like if we were an ambassador for our country overseas, there would be a certain way that we are to act and live so that we live worthy of our country. Now that's a scary thing. If we were in another country and we had to portray our country in a light that is a true representative of our country, imagine what they would have to be wearing and how they'd be acting if they were to be a true representative. Thankfully, ambassadors, for most part, for Australia, put on an act. They make us look better than what Aussies really are. All right, that's not what Aussies look like. They don't wear suits all the time and be kind and nice. They, sadly, are very debauched, godless people. But We are to portray what our Saviour is like. So if people are wondering, what is Jesus like? Jesus can say, well, look at that person. That's one of my followers. That is a true Christian, little Christ, an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul prayed that those at Colossae would be able to do this. And notice it says, unto all pleasing. So Paul prayed that they would live in a way that would please the Lord in all things. So it wasn't just that external show, but it was unto all pleasing. And so God could see not just how we act in public, but how we act in private, how we think and stew things over in our mind, and He can be pleased with all of it. Now that's saying something. That's serious stuff. A life that is pleasing to the Lord behind closed doors where nobody sees, and in the mind where only you and the Lord know. Paul prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord in all these things. That was his desire. You know, if you're a parent, your ultimate desire is that your children walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, where they do what's right and pleasing the Lord even when you're not around. Even when you leave them at home by themselves. That's your desire. And that was Paul's desire for those at Colossae. And that should be our desire for one another. That desire that we walk worthy of the Lord everywhere. That we're not hypocrites. That we are the real thing. That as we come together, we don't just put on a show, but we actually just live how we normally live. Because it is worthy of the Lord. And we see here that Paul didn't just hope or wish that they lived like this. He was compelled to pray for it as well. So much was his love for them. If you love each person here, you will be praying that God will help them to walk worthy of Him. That we would be true to His name, not just in public, but in every situation. You know, that means I need to pray for those at school that you walk worthy of the Lord when you're surrounded by a lot of godless people. That means that I need to pray for those of you who go off to work that you will walk worthy of the Lord as well. If there are couples in the church, that you walk worthy of the Lord at all times. I want your prayers. And I beg you, that you'll pray to the God of heaven that I'll walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Because I know I need that help as well. And so that's the second thing that we can be praying for. The third one is that we would be fruitful. Now what Ian didn't know this morning was, I thought I'd be very kind to you and have a bit of a shorter message because it was New Year's Eve. And he got me on early as well. And so we're going to finish early. That might be a good thing for you. But anyway, fruitful. We probably could have looked at the whole five today, this morning, but then no need to come back tonight, I guess. But anyway, we'll string it out. Fruitful. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That was what Paul prayed. He said, Lord, I pray for those at Colossae, maybe he mentioned them individually. I pray that they would be fruitful in every good work. I don't know about you, but I like to see fruit. If I plant something, if I plant a fruit tree, I want to see fruit. All right? Otherwise, it's very discouraging. You know, whatever I invest time, money, energy in, I like to see some sort of fruit for those things. Over the years, Linda and I have invested a lot of money in music lessons. Now, I'm telling you, I want to see fruit from that. And that is, I want to hear music, and praise God we do. If we had invested money for years upon years into music lessons and we didn't hear anything decent, it was just rubbish still or some tinkling well, then you'd feel discouraged. You think you'd pull the pin. No more music lessons. You like to see fruit from your labours. That's why when I was about, I was in Kosovo, I was probably about 30, I decided I was going to start learning the piano again. So I music lessons every week, and I think I lasted about a year. There wasn't a lot of fruit there. There wasn't much happening. And so, because there's no fruit, pull the pin, get discouraged. I couldn't be bothered. It's just too hard. No, I didn't get my money back. It was a waste of money. Thankfully, my niece was looking after me. It was only $10 a lesson. So I didn't lose too much, just a bit of time. But you want to see fruit. Otherwise, you get discouraged. And Paul wanted those at Colossae to see fruit. And I suspect one of the reasons is he knew that when you see fruit, it's a very good way to encourage you. And he said, I pray that they will see fruit in every good work. Now, that word good work is a very broad word, which basically means anything that's not bad. All right? Anything that's not bad is a good work. But in the New Testament, when it refers to a good work, there are specific things. And the basic idea is doing things for the Lord. For example, the office of a bishop is referred to as a good work. So being a pastor is a good work. The actions of the Lord Jesus Christ while upon the earth were good works. Work, the work of God that takes place in us is referred to as being a good work. So that's a good work that you want to see fruit from. Serving others is referred to as being a good work. To be used by the Lord is also referred to as a good work. Doing God's will is referred to as a good work. And so we can say that this good work that Paul wanted those at Colossae to be able to see fruit from was when they obeyed the word of God and they served the Lord and ministered to others. Now that's basically what we see here in a local church. We obey God, we serve the Lord, and often that is involved with serving others. And that is a good work. And God, or Paul, prayed to God that when those at Colossae did this, they would see fruit from their labours. As they knew what God's will was for their life, and as they walked worthy of that will of God in their life, they would see fruit from their labours. That they would enjoy the blessings of God working in them. As they submitted to Christ, they would see that image of Christ seen more in them. As they witnessed to people, they would see souls saved and lives transformed. He prayed that they would see fruit from their labours. And so that means for me, as I pray for each one of you, I can look at your specific area of life and where you're up to in life, and I can pray for those things. I can pray for you mothers that you'll see fruit from your labours at home. Sometimes that can be just a monotonous work, and when you don't see any fruit, your children seem just as naughty as what they were. They don't seem any more spiritual. The house gets messy every day. There's no fruit from your labours, it seems. Well, maybe if you just take the little slice of your life, it just seems like nothing's happening. But I pray that God will give you the grace to see maybe the 10, 20-year picture and how that consistent godly living and honouring the Lord, even in those simple things, will bring great fruit in years to come. But I need to pray that you see fruit from your labours in those areas. For you men at work, that God will allow you to see fruit in your testimony, in your witnessing, as you lead your family. Sometimes it's hard to see fruit there, but I need that God will show you and allow you to see fruit from your labors. You know, when you're witnessing to relatives, you seem like there's no fruit. And if you don't see fruit, often you get discouraged and you stop trying. Yet if you see fruit, whew, you're trying a lot harder now. It's amazing what fruit can do for you. And the temptation is to quit when something seems like it's a waste of time. And so praying that people will see fruit in their personal walk with Christ is essential for us to do for one another. That we will see fruit as people labor in their family and their various responsibilities is essential in our witnessing, in our ministry, in the church. I tell you, you can come to One Way Club or youth group, and if you don't see much or any fruit, it starts to get hard to come along. But if you see someone get saved, you see lives change, you see children transformed, I tell you what, then you really want to keep coming and serving. And so we need to be praying. If you come up with someone, look at their life. If they're a one-way leader or a youth group leader, pray that God will allow them to see fruit from their labors there. If they're a mother, if they're a father, if they're working, pray that God will show them fruit from their labors as they serve in one capacity or another. See, there's a lot of things that we can pray for in just praying that we will see fruit. You know, for those who pray with me on a Wednesday night, when I pray for the missionaries, I would say that that's one of the key things I pray for. Lord, I pray that they'll see fruit from their labors. Because as a missionary, if you've left home, you're struggling, you feel lonely, if there's no fruit either, it gets really hard. Pray for those missionaries that God will bless them to be able to see fruit from their labors. I want to see fruit from our good work here in the various ways that we serve the Lord. And I pray that you will pray for me that I'll see fruit to encourage me as well. And you know, we shouldn't just expect to see fruit. Okay, I'm doing what God wants, so I just expect to see fruit. Don't expect it, because that is just a gift from God as well. You know, we are unprofitable servants. To serve the Lord 24/7 and never see anything, we're still unprofitable servants. That's more than we deserve. And so it's grace when we see God bless us with fruit. And we ought to be getting on our knees and praying that we will see it, not just as ourselves, but we pray for each other that we'll see that fruit as well. And so there's three things that you can be praying for me, and you can be praying for the person in front of you and behind you and all around you this year. That they'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That they will walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And they'll be fruitful in every good work. And we'll look at the other two this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are ever so gracious toward us. There are so many things you do that we do not deserve. Salvation is but the beginning. And Lord, I pray that we would have a burden for each other, that our love will grow, that we would have a burden to see each other filled with the knowledge of your will, that we will walk worthy of you, and that we will enjoy fruit from our labors. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.